So Harry, thinking that he would soon have had enough of the library to last him a lifetime, buried himself once more among the dusty volumes, looking for any spell that might enable a human to survive without oxygen. However, though he, Ron, and Hermione searched through their lunch times, evenings, and whole weekends, though Harry asked Professor McGonagall for a note of permission to use the restricted section, and even asked the irritable, vulture-like librarian, Madame Pince, for help, they found nothing whatsoever that would enable Harry to spend an hour underwater and live to tell the tale. Familiar flutterings of panic were starting to disturb Harry now, and he was finding it difficult to concentrate in class again. The lake, which Harry had always taken for granted as just another feature of the grounds, drew his eyes whenever he was near a classroom window, a great iron-grey mass of chilly water, whose dark and icy depths were starting to seem as distant as the moon. Just as it had before he faced the Horntail, time was slipping away as though somebody had bewitched the clocks to go extra fast. There was a week to go before February the 24th. There was still time. There were 5 days to go. He was bound to find something soon. 3 days to go. Please, let me find something. Please. With 2 days left, Harry started to go off food again. The only good thing about breakfast on Monday was the return of the brown owl he had sent to Sirius. He pulled off the parchment, unrolled it, and saw the shortest letter Sirius had ever written to him. Send date of next Hogsmeade weekend by return owl. Harry turned the parchment over and looked at the back, hoping to see something else, but it was blank.
"Weekend after next," whispered Hermione, who had read the note over Harry's shoulder. "Here, take my quill and send this owl back straight away."
Harry scribbled the dates down on the back of Sirius's letter, tied it onto the brown owl's leg, and watched it take flight again. What had he expected? Advice on how to survive underwater? He had been so intent on telling Sirius all about Snape and Moody, he had completely forgotten to mention the egg's clue.
"What's he want to know about the next Hogsmeade weekend for?" said Ron.
"Dunno," said Harry, dully. The momentary happiness that had flared inside him at the sight of the owl had died. "Come on, care of magical creatures." Whether Hagrid was trying to make up for the blast-ended Scroots, or because there were now only 2 Scroots left, or because he was trying to prove he could do anything that Professor Grubbly Plank could, Harry didn't know. But Hagrid had been continuing her lessons on unicorns ever since he'd returned to work. It turned out that Hagrid knew quite as much about unicorns as he did about monsters, though it was clear that he found their lack of poisonous fangs disappointing. Today he had managed to capture 2 unicorn foals. Unlike full-grown unicorns, they were pure gold. Parvati and Lavender went into transports of delight at the sight of them, and even Pansy Parkinson had to work hard to conceal how much she liked them.
"Easier to spot than the adults," Hagrid told the class. "They turn silver when they're about 2 years old, and they grow horns at around 4. Don't go pure white till they're full grown, round about 7. They're a bit more trusting when they're babies. Don't mind boys so much. Come on, move in a bit. You can pat them if you want. Give them a few of these sugar lumps." "You okay, Harry?"
Hagrid muttered, moving aside slightly while most of the others swarmed around the baby unicorns.
"Yeah,"
said Harry.
"Just nervous, eh?"
said Hagrid.
"Bit,"
said Harry.
"Harry,"
said Hagrid, clapping a massive hand on his shoulder so that Harry's knees buckled under its weight.
"I'd have been worried before I saw you take on that Horntail, but I know now you can do anything you set your mind to. I'm not worried at all. You're going to be fine. Got your clue worked out, haven't you?"